What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. This is the Deep Corner, episode 31. It's been a little while, but we've got Real Volleyball that we put out there a couple weeks ago, and now we're back with the show and a special guest today, the man recently named the MVP of that very event, Mr. Dave Wieczorek. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate everything you do for the VLA and all that. You know, it's couldn't do it without you, so it's awesome. So thanks for having me.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for hopping on. It's the perfect time to have you, obviously, after the incredible weekend that you and the Icemen had just over a week ago, walking away with the ship. Really fun to watch, and I want to get to that a lot, but like, there's so much volleyball to talk about with you and your life and all that. I want to get to some of that, at least, before we talk about Icemen and VLA stuff. So, first of all, you just got back from Waupaca, like yesterday. Waupaca Boat Ride, which has come up on this show a handful of times. They still ran the event this year at like with several like big limitations. But how was your experience up there?
Man, to see like how it was run, even like in this kind of crazy times we're living in, it was awesome. Volleyball was always great at Waupaca. We had the Bombgrins in our pool. So that was my first time playing them and getting to meet them. And like, they were just awesome guys. And, you know, we kind of hit it off a little bit too, which was cool. It's kind of a battle between, I mean, we put up a good fight against them. And just high level volleyball. Our team, we went to the quarterfinals, won a dreaded set away from the semis and then one away from the big one. So, but overall, super solid weekend. A lot of fun, as always. It's like the best tournament ever. I mean, it's totally. A lot of people call it Christmas in July. So it's pretty sweet, and I thought it was ran like really well, especially like all things considered.
Given the circumstances, yeah, that's a weekend that I hate to miss. It's definitely a highlight of the year. And you and one of your Iceman teammates, Will Kraft, played with you this time, which was cool to see.
Yeah.
So when did you start to pick up grass, and like, what are the transferable skills you see between that and indoor? And like, what did it take you the longest time to learn about grass? I'm kind of interested in that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that gets me is that the net is a little bit lower, and you never know what the surface is going to be like. Sometimes it's dry, sometimes you're playing in a mud pit, and I think it's a lot of just being ready for everything. You never know. Like, we played at a tournament, Circle Tap. I played with a couple guys, Trevor Weisskirchen, another Iceman, if you will. And we started playing. We were in a good match in the playoffs. And all of a sudden, it started downpouring, lightning. And we were the only idiots out there playing. So, but you have to learn to adapt. And to kind of hit your question, I started playing grass, I want to say when I was 14. I started playing in like
that
old
long
school
ago.
Duels. Yeah, back in the day. And my dad got me into it, our assistant coach for Iceman. So, he's big into grass, and that's kind of like where my love for it, you know, I would always go to these tournaments, and man, these are sweet. Like, it's different from beach. I find it more fun than beach because although it's outdoors, you get, I feel like you're at your full jump and it's more power. It's swing, swing, swing. It's not as shoddy, and you get the triples aspect. And I think in terms of how it relates to indoor, it's definitely power. It's a power game. And serving, it comes down to serve pass. The difference I would say is, I think defense is a lot, there's a lot more emphasis on defense. If you can turn like two or three balls and get it in transition,
that's the match.
Put it away, you can side out and coast the rest of the way. So lot of fun. I definitely say indoors here and grass is right there. So
yeah, I totally agree with that. You got a lot of court to cover in grass, but I've always been fascinated by the grass triples format. I think it should be a lot bigger than it is. So anybody watching, if you've never been to Waupaca next year, put it on your calendar.
Oh, big time, definitely.
All right, so let's kind of start at the beginning. I want to talk through like the different levels that you've played at, the different kind of milestones along the way, and kind of what you've picked up, like the biggest takeaway from your time at these different levels, these different places. So let's start with high school, Loyola Academy on the kind of the North Shore of Chicago. Good high school program. When was your first like serious exposure to real like competitive indoor volleyball? And then what was the biggest difference when you graduated from Loyola?
Well, they kind of threw me in the fire my freshman year. So I was on varsity as a freshman, and my first match I started, it just was like thrown into the fire. It was against New Trier, another top program. So they're like, hey, like, we're going, you're in. I was like, fantastic.
All right.
Like, first time, like, good to go. And I think that's like, all right, man, this is fun. And I knew I could do it. Like, I learned I could do it and play at that level. I mean, I had picked up a ball since I was like 4 years old, peppering. I was always like a self-proclaimed gym rat. I would kind of like be following around my dad all the time at different gyms with adult nationals and USAB. So I was always able to see like open level players and like guys, like the studs of volleyball. And I went and saw like our national team play whenever I could. So I think even before high school, I'd say seventh grade is when I made my mind. I kind of figured out what Pepperdine was and what was going on out there. And guys like Sean Rooney, like Rooney was the man for me.
Yeah, because he's another Chicago boy that made the trip.
Exactly. I'm like, here's this big 6'10 outside who's like doing exactly what I want to be doing one day. So I figured it out at an early age. And I'm like, all right, this is the goal. Like, I'm going to start, like, as soon as I get into high school, like, I stopped all the sports. It was, for me, it was like, I'm going to settle in, play club, and just kind of hone in. And I think the luxury of I was able to play with my dad at high levels. I mean, it's not, you know, like this Olympic level, but it's still really high level, like open nationals as a kid, and see that and like know these guys and like watch the game and see how they're playing. And then take that into my high school gym and have all these reps that are like in this gym and these practices that I can like, all right, I just saw this, I'm going to try it here.
Yeah.
And it's at an early age. So I can, like my motor program is still learning, my body's growing, so I can kind of like hardwire it into my DNA. So.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's huge to be able to see high level volleyball from a young age, and not that many kids that grew up playing and have gotten to the level that you're at got to do that. Like you mentioned the national team, they would come to town here in Chicago or nearby, like one of the suburbs, most of the summers they would make a stop, like either in Hoffman Estates or downtown or wherever. And I always love going to those too. And you make a good point, like seeing that those guys do the things that they're doing. Not very many people can try to replicate those things in the gym, but you clearly are one of them.
Yeah. So it was cool. I owe a lot to my dad for sure, because like I said, he played in the, like those open level tournaments, and just to be able to watch that and see that was pretty cool. And then see, like you said, like when they'd come by in the summer, the national team guys, then you see those guys and you can see all different levels of volleyball in different aspects and parts of the world. So it's pretty cool.
So you mentioned that you had your eye on Pepperdine early. Yeah. What was the process like to realize that dream of going there and being on that roster?
Yeah. So it was a strange one at the beginning. I think in California, you kind of go through the pipeline of club and you get a good exposure. But being in the Midwest, it was kind of uncharted territory. And like a lot of guys would feed into like Loyola, Ball State, Ohio State. And I was like, man, I want to go to Pepperdine. How do I do this? I don't know anyone who's done it. So I just filled out a bunch of like random, like those online recruiting questionnaires and shot them out. And like 3 days later, I think it was a sophomore in high school, I got an email back from one of the Pepperdine assistants, and like that's how the conversation started. And it got pretty quiet for a while because there were so many like recruiting regulations and everything they had to follow.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and then junior year, Jonathan Winder, big time setter at Pepperdine, then assistant coach, like reached out, and we just started the conversation of like emailing. And literally, it was just kind of a trial by fire. And like I said earlier, like learning it as we go and just trying to do it the right way. And one day they're like, hey, like it came about, I think the rules changed like every summer, it seems like, with club. But now you can sign early. But back then you couldn't commit or like actually sign until after JO's, Nationals as a senior. Mm-hmm. So I had like a bunch of coaches, but I was like, Iron Pepperdine. And they originally said they didn't have any money. And I think like scholarship. And for those who don't know, Pepperdine's, I think, $75,000 a year.
Yeah.
So it's a big chunk of change. So it wasn't, I needed a scholarship. I think we would have been able to figure it out somewhat, but like, they're like, hey, we don't have any money. And I think they were definitely testing me.
Yeah.
Cause they were pulling my chain, trying to see like, what's this kid in it for? And then one day Marv came to my house, Marvin Winder, and we went to a Bears game, actually. So sorry to disrespect the flag in the background.
It's okay. I know I'm in enemy territory.
Yeah. So we went to a Bears game and they were at my house, and like we kind of had like an old school recruiting trip, which was cool because they came out and they made me an offer with like pretty much a full ride scholarship and everything. And we were able to make it work, and the rest is history. So
Dream come true, man. That's a great story. You don't hear of like old school recruiting trips like that happening in the volleyball world very much. That's a cool story.
Yeah, I'm glad that I was able to get like be lucky enough, like work hard enough to get lucky enough, is what I say, to get that opportunity.
Good point. So you get to Pepperdine and you actually redshirted a year, but by the end of your career, the MPSF Player of the Year, First Team All-American, your college career really speaks for itself. But what did that redshirt year do for you as a player? A lot of people give that year a lot of credit for the people who chose to go that way. What was that year like?
Yeah, it was scratching and clawing just to get on the court. And I knew I was redshirting. We had tremendous seniors. I think we had 7 or 8 seniors.
Wow.
So, I mean, and there was like 4 of them were all Americans. So already. So it's like, man, these guys are legit. So Marv for me had a conversation. He's like, hey, like we can bring you in to serve. He's like, but I think you have more potential down the line. And I think this will be good for you to train. And we see a lot of potential, and hats off to him, because he saw it and called it. Cause I know a lot of freshmen my year went in for a point just to serve. And like, we knew that it was senior stacked, but they just wanted to get on the court like once.
Yeah.
And
that counts as a year. Right.
Exactly. So it was tough. It was tough to sit there and watch and like come out of high school as a top player and then sit there and watch. But I think it was also on the other end awesome, because I got to learn so much from great guys. It humbled me a lot, and it made me realize how much work it actually takes. I think a lot of people forget, like they see like, wow, this is where this guy is, but where they like the journey to get there and how difficult it is. And it's a lot of hard work. So, and I think a lot of the guys who've done it know it, and it's rewarding at the end, but it's definitely, it was a humbling experience, and I'm glad it happened, because it made me realize what hard work was.
Well, speaking of your work ethic, at the tournament last weekend, I was talking to your teammate Ben Hancock, who played with you at Pepperdine and was there last weekend with the Chicago boys. And he was talking to me about your work ethic, the time that you spent in the gym just working on your game. And the way he talked about that really made it clear that you understand the value of the work that you had to put in, and you reap the rewards by the end of your career. And that was really impressive to see. So if there's one like key takeaway from your Pepperdine years, whether it's work ethic or on the court technical or anything, if you could put a finger on that, what would it be?
Yeah, I think when you get the opportunity, make the most of it, because you never know when you're going to get it. You could be thrown into a practice one day, or I mean, it could show up at any moment, whether it's like, hey, you're in this game, hey, you're in this practice. And once you get it, just run with it. And I mean, I got to say, a guy who is a testament to that is Caleb Denmark. He was our O2 our last year, and he didn't play his first couple of years, but then he came in and just like knew his role, got his opportunity, and crushed it. So I think it's the biggest thing is, obviously, like we said, like work hard, work ethic, that's number one. And then like the big takeaway is like, if you get an opportunity, make sure you're working hard, so when you're get that opportunity, you're not like starstruck. You know, you can't just be like, oh my God, I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
It's gone in the wind. So
yeah, like you said earlier, you worked hard enough to be lucky enough.
Right.
And then
right,
and then
right.
when it happens, you capitalize. That's what it's all about. Yeah. So a handful of stops along the way, you had the opportunity to spend some summers in the gym with the national team, and that's during and post-college. You went to Argentina a couple summers ago. You did the one in Colorado Springs last summer, right? And like you are now spending serious time with the legitimate like A1 men's national team in the gym, working towards that as high of a goal as you can achieve in the sport. That is a huge opportunity, and the resources that are there with the coaches and the film and the weight training and all that are, I'm sure, are like unmatched just about anywhere. So of all the time that you spent with the USA, and that time may not even be over yet, what's a takeaway from that enabled you to elevate your game even further?
Yeah, I don't even know if it's so much a takeaway. It's just being like in there with that. It kind of goes back to like how we talked about seeing the volleyball. Now, like being able to actually play with those guys and get those touches, and I mean the game gets a lot quicker really fast. Yeah, you got guys like Matt Anderson, Taylor Sander, like playing against those guys. It's legit volleyball. That's the real deal.
That's right.
Just being able to like watch, get in there, train with them, play with them, and understand like how they do things and like the level of volleyball, and then play, like have success at that level, it's like it just opens doors. So to be able, and you know, there's a, for sure I've got a longer road ahead to, you know, keep climbing, but I mean, I've had success in that gym and I've done good things there, and I'm going to keep, I mean, it goes back to hard work every time I say mm-hmm. it, just keep working hard and, you know, keep training and keep going. So
was there a starstruck moment in maybe the national team gym or your whole volleyball career perhaps that stands out as like, you're like, whoa, this guy on the other side of the net is actually Matt Anderson, for example, or is there one of those for you?
Yeah, you know, I'd say there's two. The first one was Marv
like, Albert.
When I got to Pepperdine, I was like, man, like this is the guy. Like,
yeah,
I was like short of breath. I'm like, hey, like I would see him and be like, hi, like I was like nervous little kid. Like I'm like, hey man, like, I mean, obviously we have a great relationship now, but when I first met him, I was like, just like, this is, I was like, everything, respect, proper, everything. And so, and then the second one was probably, I think my first day in the gym, just like getting, cause no one really knows who you are. Like the coaches know you, but when you get there, you just show up and you like walk in and you like put your bag down, put your shoes on, and then they just expect you like, hey, like, this is what we're doing. Like you just walk into the team huddle, and they did introduce me like, this is Dave, like this, he's going to be training with us. And, but I'm just like looking around, like all these guys, like Matt Anderson, Taylor Sander, Micah Christensen. And I'm like, I think I was like 20, 21. And yeah. I'm like, all right. And they're like, all right, break. Like we're into practice. And I was, my name's on the board. So I was like, oh man, like it's go time. It's either get in or get out. So that was big.
That's crazy. That's an amazing moment.
Yeah.
So you made the jump to Germany for your first professional season, the Helios Grizzlies in Gießen. Pretty good squad, and you had a pretty good year over there. A lot of the guys I've had on the show who've talked about making the jump to Europe talk about the speed difference as being a huge step up when they get to the professional level. You might have had a little bit of help with that in the national team gym. So in your case, when you got to Germany, what was different? And it may have just been the culture, because that's a big deal too.
Yeah, definitely. I think you nailed it. It's the culture for sure. For me, I think it was getting used to cultural norms and different teammates from all over the world. And now some of them are great friends. And I think, but at first I was like, man, this is like, this isn't right. This is different. And I didn't feel comfortable at all. I think the volleyball was pretty similar, but it's amazing how much the outside factors play a role in that.
Absolutely.
And that's the one thing I'm grateful for, is being able to learn that and going into my next year, take that knowledge and understand like, hey, this is, it's not going to be like college, and it's not going to be how you've experienced it. You got guys speaking different languages. The English they speak is not English. So it's very broken. So just to be able to understand that and move, like grow from that, is, I'd say, the biggest thing. So
yeah, I've had a lot of guys on the show say that exact same thing. If you're not prepared for the non-volleyball parts of making that jump, then the volleyball parts can be affected. And you have a great point about, nobody really gets how big of a deal that is until you're there and until you're experiencing it.
Right, right.
All right, so before we talk about Iceman, which there's a lot to talk about because now we finally just played a tournament, I have this little speed round that I put people through. So I'm going to give you quick little questions. Give me the first thing that kind of comes into your head, all right?
Okay.
All right, early mornings or late nights?
Early mornings.
You're crazy. I don't understand any of you people. Best pregame pump up like song or artist?
Ah, that's a good one. Any like heavy rap music.
Okay. Best day of the week?
Best day of the week. Oh, Saturday.
Good one. Stuff block or service ace?
Service ace.
Best post game meal?
Pizza.
Hardest position in volleyball?
Anything involving middle blocking. So. Read blocking.
Good answer.
Not a position, but a thing.
That position's hard. I thought there was a chance you might say the person trying to dig you cross court is a pretty hard position in volleyball too.
That's not hard. That's impossible.
That's you know? what's your favorite jersey number?
19.
Is there a story behind that, or is it just kind of always been a thing?
That was the one number. So I was just, they gave me like two choices to go into Pepperdine, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna own 19. Like everyone, the other recruits got cool numbers. Like 6, 1, 10, 9. I'm like, man, these guys are getting like sweet numbers. So I was like, all right, I'm going to own 19. Like, this is it. Like, this is my number. So I'm going to make it home.
Nice one. 19 is a cool number too, though, in my opinion.
I do like it. It is cool. But at first, I was like, man, I was like, these guys got one, two, and I feel like I got the like slim pickings. So,
well, yeah. You did the right thing with it. All right. Cats or dogs?
Dogs for sure.
Favorite sports team in any sport?
Chicago Bears.
That's the wrong answer.
That's the right answer.
Favorite athlete in any sport?
Michael Jordan.
Great one. The documentary that came out recently, like, oh my goodness.
That, not to interrupt the speed round, but that has been a huge help of like seeing that insight and like seeing how that relates to like professional sports, like getting his insight, top notch.
Anyone can learn from that. I agree. If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Fly.
Okay. I mean, you're all like halfway there. Let's be serious.
Yeah. I can just fly home from Europe more often. That's why.
Good point. That's a good one.
Yeah. Fly back and forth on the weekends.
What sport are you the best at other than volleyball?
Football.
Okay. Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Yeah, you went to Pepperdine. That's an easy one. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
And what's stronger for you, loving winning or hating losing?
I think hating losing.
I love people's answer to that. It's fascinating.
It shows a lot.
Yeah, I agree. So. I think I'm right in the middle. I really can't decide.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. No, and to clarify for that Europe one, yeah, I just want to fly home so I can see my dog and family.
Right.
I love Europe. I just want to see my family. So.
Yeah, that it would be nice. Just come back.
And my girlfriend. If I don't mention my girlfriend, I'm like.
Shout out to Deanna.
We know
she'll be listening. All right, so this is the first episode of this show that I've done since the VLA got to play volleyball. We finally did it. We got together at Loy Ball's gym in Northeast Indiana like a little over a week ago now. We played 3 full days of volleyball, and it was incredible. And to sum it all up, you and the guys did not drop a set in the whole playoffs. You beat Phoenix 3-0, you beat LVC 3-0, and you walk away with an MVP award. Not bad, huh?
Not a bad first tournament. Not bad at all.
I wanted to kind of go match by match from the Iceman perspective. So the first one on Friday, you guys played LVC in pools. And I think going into the event, nobody really knew what to expect from any of the teams. But if you had asked me before, I would have said that was a preview of the championship match. And it ended up being that. And it was a 5-set barn burner. You guys lost 15-13 in the fifth. I actually watched through most of it again today just because I wanted to watch it again.
Good match. Yeah.
Good match, and everyone else who's watching this should go do that. They're all on this very same YouTube channel. You can go rewatch them. So that was your first real in-game action with the Icemen. You'd practiced with them a few times, but it had been several months because of the pandemic since anyone's really played indoor. So that is a heck of a first match against a good team like LVC. So what was that one like, and what did you guys take away from a close loss?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, we knew we could do it. I think we knew we could beat them. I forgot who said it, but somebody said it best, that once we figured each other out, I think there was no stopping us from there. I think it was that, like, having not played together before, and we're like, man, like, we're playing pretty good, and we're still, like, kind of figuring things out. And, like, we're in this game against a really good team. Like, there are no... Like, hats off to LVC. Like,
they're legit.
A solid squad. So I think we just, once we got the pieces together and the ball was rolling, there was no stopping the Iceman. So I think that was the biggest takeaway. We kind of just felt it after that.
Break that down a little bit more specifically for me in terms of like figuring each other out. Be as volleyball technical as you want. What exactly does that mean?
I think there's a lot of components that go into it. When you play, like, there's the X's and O's, there's the skills, there's things you need to do, but there's this feeling of cohesion. You know, it's something you got to feel. Like, the guy next to you, for example, like, if you know they're, like, on a certain ball, they're going to play that ball, or they're, like, in serve receive, they're going to take that seam. Like, they say, hey, I got this ball. They have that ball. Like, after you learn those little, like, nuances of each of your teammates, of what they do, and, like, what, and, like, there's that feeling of trust. Once that is, I think, earned between one another, and it just, sometimes it clicks, sometimes it doesn't. When it clicks, it's pretty magical. So it's something that's not so X's and O's. It's more just, it happens with time, or if it's just the right fit and it's the right group of guys.
That makes sense. And I think the trained volleyball viewer can see that. I think it, I've had some guys on the show before say, like, especially talking about like going overseas or picking up and playing together after it's been a while or whatever, volleyball is volleyball at the end of the day, and everyone's good enough that you can kind of get on the floor and make it work. But there's a couple points that can be attributed to the chemistry, the cohesion, like you're talking about. And that can be the difference between winning or losing 15-13 game five. It could be the difference in a championship or whatever. So I agree that that is a huge deal. In addition, how about hitting off of a different setter? For you, whether it's Tim Faulkner, your Iceman setter, or literally anyone, how much does that make for you personally?
I think it goes back to like figuring each other out. Like everybody hits different balls. Yeah. Like Mark Jones needs a quicker tempo set. Like that's what he likes. I like it more in the air. Let me go be big and use the range. Let me see the block and I'll hit around it. Uh-huh. Luckily enough, I've known Tim for a long time, and he's a great guy, even, you know, great setter too. Yeah. So it's being able to play with him and know him and kind of have an idea of what he likes to do was nice and helpful. But it's huge just in general when you don't know the setter. It takes time to figure it out in certain situations. Like if you're 14-13 in a fifth set and you need to put that ball away and the ball is 40 feet off the net, like you got to know, like, is it going to come out of his hands? Sometimes you just see it coming out of setter's hands. Like guys I've played with, like I know where they take the ball, how the ball is going to come out. Yep. Do they have it up high or up low? If he's on the floor, I know he's going to hang it. So like I know exactly how it's going to look. And to be able to pick those things up, that takes time. If you're lucky, it doesn't. It comes right away. But it'd be a nice luxury. But like when you figure that stuff out for hitting, when you see it out of the setter's hands, that's like the best thing ever.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you guys, that same day after losing to LVC in 3-2, destroyed Team Pineapple. Just completely overpowered them. I think it was service pressure, blocking, block touches into transition hitting. It was a classic, like, kind of high-level domination. And it's not often that 3-0s are as fun to watch as that one was. I remember in particular, I just really enjoyed watching that match because of how well you guys played. So how did you talked about figuring each other out. You did it in like 2 hours. How'd you do that?
Yeah, I think we just had a lot of fun. We were like super, I think we knew we left a little bit on the table with LVC. So that kind of like motivated us. We're like, oh man, we dropped the heartbreaker to LVC on a play, like, as you know how it ended, like something we wouldn't expect. So everyone's like, man, like, we weren't mad, like we weren't frustrated. We were just like, this is sweet. Like we're balling, and like we lost the fifth setter and we're fired up. And I don't know how often that happens. So we just kind of were like, all right, we're like, we're good, we're rolling. And when we walked into that match, I think we were just ready to go. We were ready to get on the gas. And they're a good team too. I mean, every team there was a great team. So to be able, I think we were just hungry, you know?
Yeah, well, you guys came to eat that match. That's one to go back and rewatch. And then the next day, you kind of had the luxury of the match against Ascension was going to be your only match of the day. And the way the finishing of the pool was going to be, that match wasn't going to matter because you knew that you were going to rematch him on Sunday. So you didn't have to play. It was great. Neither did Tim. So what were you seeing from the sidelines that time? Because every match is an opportunity to get better, even though the stakes aren't so high. And in particular, your boy Ben Hancock setting the offense and getting a reward that he's been waiting several years for, getting a chance to really play in a match like that. So you knew you weren't going to really see the court. But what was accomplished by the Icemen in that match?
Well, I think for me personally, it was cool to sit there and watch and hang out and enjoy and like cheer the guys on. You know, they did a great job of supporting us, all the guys who didn't play. So it's kind of, there's two ways you can go. You can be like, oh, I'm just going to chill here and watch, or I can be a great teammate and support. And like for me, like a big thing is like, if I'm on the court or if I'm off the court, I'm going to support the guys.
Yeah.
So to be able to sit there and like have fun, like be serious, but have a little bit of fun too and support them and like kind of get them going and like argue with the other team on some jokes and try to get them fired up. That was cool. And then what I saw was, hats off to Ben Hancock. He's a, you know, he talks about my work ethic. That guy at Pepperdine was a tremendous teammate, worked hard in the weight room, would destroy half the starters and anything in the weight room. Pound for pound, strongest guy for sure at Pepperdine. and would always be like, he wouldn't be in drills or games, but he would travel with us. He would support us. And just like, I loved my time with him, and it was awesome to see him play at the VLA event.
He was good too.
He ran a good offense.
Yeah, he did.
Ran a great offense. And then I got my buddy Merck too. So
to, yeah, old high school teammate.
Yeah. I had not played with him indoors for 5-6 years. So to be able to like play with him and support him. So that's like from that aspect, that was cool watching.
Yeah.
And then from like the general Iceman aspect, it was awesome to support. And I saw a lot of good things too. You know, they came on ready. They weren't like, well, we just sat the last match, you know, or like this match doesn't matter because we were going to play Ascension anyway.
Yep.
But they're like, we want to go out and make a statement. And they did it.
And so. They did it. So then you got them in the run back in a match with Stakes Sunday morning. And you took it to them. You 3-0'd them to get to the finals. Was that kind of just the culmination of all the progress that we made the last couple of days, then just kind of a killer instinct?
Yeah, it really is. We were just, I mean, we were rolling. It just felt like the train wasn't going to be stopped. So that's how we felt. And once we beat them, I think we knew like, all right, we had a good match coming up. And we were prepped, but a good thing we did was we didn't focus one match ahead. We weren't like, all right, we beat Ascension. Now we got LVC, even though we still had Ascension in the morning again, you know,
right.
We'd beaten them once. We weren't like, all right, like this is like easy. We're in the finals. Mm-hmm. No, we were on to Ascension in the morning. We're going to focus on that. And then like give 110% to that. And then it's on to LVC. So there's this match. The most important match is the next one. So
yep.
We're on that one, not the finals, or worried about that.
Yeah. So. That was the appropriate amount of focus. And then you did reach the finals, and it was a completely different story than Friday when you played LVC. It was just as high level volleyball, probably even higher. But you guys, like you said, you kind of knew, and your team could feel that once you got it rolling, no one was going to get in your way. And as good as LVC is, and you're right to give them a lot of credit for the team that they had, they weren't going to get in your way.
Yeah, man, it was cool. We started off down too in the first set.
I think like, you did.
Yeah, we were down. So we're like, but still, even when we were down, we're just like, we're going to just weather the storm. And I think we had a lot of maturity out there. Josidas was a good guy for that too.
Totally.
He understands high level volleyball. So he was like, hey, we're going to weather the storm, get some runs going, and we're good to go. And I think we started down, but no one was ever like, oh man, we're getting blown out this first set. And we came back, and I think it showed. So
the thing that I think separates the teams at the VLA level and higher, the really, really highest levels. Like everybody knows that when an offense is in system, you're scoring. It's just happening. Like the arms, the physicality, balls pass perfect or on free ball. That ball's terminated 95-100% of the time. But what I was impressed with by you guys is the ability to serve a team to about 15 feet off the net. And that was all you needed to get your block in a good enough spot to get a touch that created a transition chance. There was no team better at that on the weekend than you guys. And Ascension, I got to give them credit for playing ridiculous defense. They're just like raw. Their raw defensive ability was the most impressive of any team on the weekend. But the most productive defensive touches by far were you and the Iceman. And like those touches were turned into points at a rate that I was really impressed by. And when you're down a couple points and you have no choice but to score and serve, that's the way you have to do it. Either that or just like straight up service aces or stuff blocks. But more often it's transition kills the defense. So what's the secret to that?
Just to getting them off the net? In terms of like service pressure or
when you're, I don't know, you're down 16-13 and you need to tie the game.
Yeah. I think the mindset of stay aggressive is always there. It's never play it safe. Stay aggressive, but within reason, you know, like let's 1 point at a time. The next ball you hit isn't going to be worth 2 points. So don't try to like
great point.
Destroy it and send it to the back wall. So we were able to, just kind of, I don't know, we just were dialed in, we were focused, and we were able to put good service pressure on them. And like how we started the set too, we never were down or nervous or like over excited to like score more points than we needed. And I think it comes down to a lot of maturity too. I think that comes with maturity. And that was the nice part about the Iceman. We had a lot of it.
You did. You and LVC both. I was impressed by the maturity of both those teams. So you personally on the weekend, the MVP award, very, very well deserved, first of all.
I appreciate that.
I like to think I know the volleyball world to some degree. And like I knew you, who you were in college. I'd seen you play for Pepperdine. I'd never seen you play in real life indoor until last weekend. And I was blown away at some of the things that you did out there. There were a couple like 15-foot balls out of the pipe against three blockers, and you painted one to the right back corner and one to the left back corner. There were a couple when you went against the meme and turned one down the line. There were several when you went fully with the joke and just bombed away hard cross. Like there was, I think, the match against LVC on Friday, you had one hitting error and that was it. I wish we had the stats. You'd probably hit 800 or something absurd. You really came to play. So I asked you this after the championship match on stream, but I want to make sure we get it here. What's your favorite offensive shot to hit?
Oh, it's angle for sure.
And how about your second favorite?
A little more angle.
And if you have a third favorite?
Just always more angle. There's always more of it. So
when did that joke come into existence?
Man, that came... I did it in high school a lot.
Yeah.
Everyone
thumb
like,
down, thumb down, thumb down.
Yeah. My coach was like, you're going to hit line. And then it was like, kind of like, ha, ha, ha. And then at Pepperdine, that's when it blew up. There were two things that blew up at Pepperdine. It was my nickname, Big Wave Dave.
I was going to ask about that too.
Yeah. Always hits angle. For some reason, even in the USA gym, like everyone, like a guy I talked to a lot, Thomas Jaschke.
Yeah.
He's always giving like kind of ribbing me like, oh, you're going to hit some line or like always more angle. Like. Yeah. So
who
it's
needs it?
Yeah, who needs line? It's overrated. And it just caught fire one day. And like Marv was a big guy. He like showed me my heat map once of like all my statted swings in college.
Goodness.
And I forget which year it was, but it was like 95% cross and then like, I don't know, 1% high line. And then whatever the rest of the percent were just like scatter balls elsewhere. And they're like, he's like, I think you should maybe work in just a little more line, just a little bit. And I had so many coaches meetings with Marv, just like hitting, like, we're like, hey, just a little bit of high line, just a little bit, like today's the day. And then in practices, they're like, we don't care if you hit 70 balls out, like just hit the line. So, and I'd do it. I'd have great practices. The next match, thumb down, angle. like I see it. Like in every time I play, like everyone's like, hey, he hits cross. And then, it just works, man. It's just like never, it hasn't been until they stop it is the
right. Well, that philosophy goes to a lot of things about volleyball. Like setters are told set middle until they stop it in the beginning of a match or whatever. But like when you tell a team to defend, like block a guy's angle, but then when you tell them to defend your angle is a different story. One, because
big time.
Yeah. Cause of how sharp you like to cut it off and of how high you're contacting the ball. I think that's the biggest difference. Like there were some shots that you hit last weekend that off blocker defenders, like left sides and left front, just straight up have not seen that shot ever hit at them before. And it was funny to see the blocks move gradually further and further in as the match went on. And then in a couple clutch moments, sure enough, boom, one down high line, one or maybe two. And you saw it because the block kept moving in literally in the middle of the court. And you're like, okay, fine.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like cool and it's really funny. But like when they give me the street and like I see like however, you can't even put it in the camera. Line, I got to put that ball down the line. So,
right.
And there was a guy, Kevin Vaz, who's our middle grad transfer. And I saw him at WPAC and he's like, you know, he's like, no one gets it. He's like, when they say take Dave's angle, he's like, when the middle's like, I'm in it. He's like, take a little more. And he's like, and if you still think you're right there, he's
you're
like,
not.
Take one more step over and then you're still almost there. So yeah,
it was, I can't tell you how many times while I was broadcasting last weekend that I did that, said that exact thing while commentating a hard angle swing. You took like, dude, these guys think that they have it stopped, but they don't. Is it before we move on from that, is it just like a commitment to the joker at this point, or is it like actually the, in your opinion, the optimal shot to hit every time is super hard cross court?
I don't, you know, a magician never reveals his tricks, but I
good answer.
I'm up there, I see things that I don't know if anyone else sees. Probably some players, a lot of high level players do. Not saying I'm some elite athlete that's like this apex predator.
Well,
but
I'll say that you don't have to.
Okay, I see something that I just like when I see it and I have to go with it because it's been successful at Pepperdine professionally and in USA. So, and it's a little bit with the joke. So, especially when the luau guys are around too. So, they egg it on.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, man.
Yeah.
So, before we get you out of here, I wanted to get your thoughts on the whole VLA weekend as a whole. We as a league are really proud of that weekend. We got a lot of great volleyball out there, great content. Yeah. The production value was good, bordering on very good, and there's still going to be a lot more content coming out of that. But a guy like you, a guy like Cody Kessel from LBC, some of the names that we were able to attract to play in this event were huge for us in kind of legitimizing what we have going on here. So thank you again for doing that. But what was your feedback on the event as a whole? The level of volleyball that was played, the other teams that were there, and kind of a trajectory for what we might have going on with this league.
Yeah, I think to start, the level of play is awesome. It was good. It was great volleyball. There was no, it's not like a rec league tournament where they're trying to just get guys, you know, to make this league. Like, it's legitimate. If you think you can come play in this league, try and come play in this league. So it's good volleyball. How the event was ran, awesome, amazing. I think you did a great job. I've got a lot Thank of good you. Feedback. Everybody who played in it loved it. Loyola Hall, I mean, legend. Thank you for hosting it. Did a yeah. great job. Great
he
facility.
Was huge, of course.
Yeah, and to have him too in the league, like that's like you got one of the best volleyball players to ever do it. Mm-hmm. So, everything was awesome. It was a great tournament. Great volleyball. And as far as where it can go, I mean, you see these crowds turn out at WAPACA and women's games and the college level, even the men's finals. A lot of pro players are looking to start a league, myself included. They would love to be here. It's hard to go overseas and be, not because Europe's a bad place. We love Europe. It's just hard to be away from family and loved ones and friends and your culture. So if we could get a league going that's high level and supports their athletes and their families, I mean, not saying it needs to be NFL type level, but just like a good solid league where we can play and have a good time and be with family and friends and then give back to the people who come and watch. I genuinely think the world is dying for sports right now.
Totally.
As you know, and this is what a great opportunity. And you see the numbers at WAPACA. If we can just get those numbers and those people to come out and watch, like how cool of an opportunity would it be for us, everyone, fans, players, Loy, everybody involved, to just build something special in our league and then get it going and grow the game. It's all about growing the game and making it better. So for the generations past me too, like you, I would love to see a league where like if I had kids who played, could stay here and play and I could go watch or anything. So it'd be so cool.
Couldn't have said it better, man. That's very well said. And the like we all know that all of us who have played at a reasonably high level or know the game know that as soon as you put high level volleyball in front of human beings, like that's all you have to do. And when they see it,
yes,
it's over. They're in love with it. It's so fast. It's so dynamic. We have a lot of very, very smart people on the board figuring out how to put our product in front of people. And we know the potential that it has. So a guy like you who has the same vision that the rest of us do is really great to hear from. And the, trust me, you're going to want to come back around next summer when you get back from wherever you are in Europe, because when the world is back to normal, our calendar will look different and the events that we're at will be all these junior events with 100 courts of, you know, 14 to 18 year old, both girls and boys playing. And that's free fans and people who are going to just fall in love with all you guys on the court. So that is going to be special when we get there.
Yeah. And we got to defend the title.
You know, that is true.
We got a lot riding here.
The Icemen are the top dogs. The Chicago, yeah, you know, the Icemen are the team to beat.
The title's in Chicago right now.
That's so right. Whenever we get out on the floor next, you guys are the team to beat. And I know that was the thing that everybody wanted, that you know, that namesake that everybody wanted last weekend. So before I get you out of here, what's kind of next for you? We don't know exactly necessarily where you're going to be overseas yet, but you talked about trying to expand your social media presence a little bit. So this...
Right.
This show is a cool chance to do that. So where can everybody follow you and what is your plan for the near and far future, I guess?
Yeah, the plan is, I mean, as you know, like you said it, we're waiting for the world to get back to normal. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things up in the air with Europe. Can Americans get there? I've had some opportunities. I've turned down some opportunities. There's more out there right now. Some that can be solidified right now. But for me, it's finding the right fit. And I think genuinely there's I didn't want to rush into a decision this year. I think last year I was rushed. I didn't know the nature of the beast in Europe. And that's not a discredit to where I went at all, because I enjoyed the experience and I learned a lot. But going forward, there's some good opportunities, and now I'm excited. I'm more excited than I am anything to see what I decide, which route I kind of go down. So there's good stuff. I can't really, you know, like we talked about earlier prior to this video chat, you know, a lot of things, what we say here stays here.
Right.
So I can't reveal too much, but there's some good stuff going on in the works, and I'm excited about it. It's good things, great things.
Right. Well, good way to keep the people wanting. Everybody follow this man. Follow him at Dave Wieczorek on Instagram, wherever, wherever else that Dave can be found. You exist there. So whatever news there is about your volleyball future, that will be where to find it. And I am so excited to follow you wherever you go next. Dude, it's been great getting to know you the last couple of weeks, watching you play. Yeah. It was a blast. Congrats again on such a great weekend. And thanks a lot for hopping on the show.
Yeah, thanks, man. Hopefully we can do big things. So professionally, USA Gym, it's looking good. Just a lot of hard work. So thanks for having me.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We're going to start doing every Tuesday, just once a week for this show, the next several weeks. So I'll have hopefully the rest of the all-tournament team from the weekend on the show in the next few weeks. But we obviously wanted to kick it off with the MVP. So, Dave, thanks again for joining. Everyone else, we will see y'all next time.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.